Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring responsible social media and online communication.
Glad to be here.
If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
It is a critical skill, absolutely.
Right. So I was thinking about this to kick us off. Imagine just downloading a transcript of every single message you've ever sent.
Oh, boy.
Like every comment you left or, you know, meme you forwarded over the last 5 years, and just handing that massive file directly to your future boss.
Yeah, that is a terrifying thought for most of us, honestly.
It really is.
Because, you know, we tend to treat our digital interactions like a casual conversation in a hallway. You make a joke, you voice a frustration, and it just sort of evaporates into the air.
Like it never happened.
Exactly. But the reality of the architecture we are using is, well, it's far less forgiving than a hallway. We are operating in an environment of total permanence.
Total permanence.
Right. And the gap between how we perceive our actions and what is actually happening behind the screen, I mean, that is where massive professional risks are born.
So let's unpack that gap a bit. Mm-hmm. Because when we hear the phrase digital communication, I think the immediate image is usually a viral influencer post.
Or a massive public marketing campaign, yeah.
Right, the big public stuff.
Yeah.
But if we were talking about your future workplace, the scope is much broader, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like we were talking about the quick reply on Slack or the comments left on a shared Figma board.
Or even just the tone of a late night email. Absolutely.
Right.
It encompasses the entire ecosystem of how you connect with others through a screen. And the psychology behind why we make mistakes in these spaces is genuinely fascinating.
How so? Like what's happening in our brains?
Well, think about your posture when you use these tools. When you are sitting on your couch, maybe in your pajamas, typing on a small piece of glass, your brain categorizes that interaction as intimate.
Because it feels like just you and the phone.
Exactly. The user interface feels completely private. But the infrastructure you are interacting with is fundamentally public and enduring.
That is a wild disconnect.
It is. You are essentially broadcasting your internal monologue into an indestructible archive.
You know, I often think of it as the difference between a whiteboard doodle and a permanent tattoo.
Oh, that's a great way to look at.
Right. Like you draw on a whiteboard in a meeting, you laugh about it with a colleague, you just wipe it away, it's gone.
Clean slate.
But the digital realm archives your thoughts, your initial reactions, and I think most importantly, your tone. Day by day, message by message, it is actively shaping a digital identity that you will carry with you, like a tattoo.
And trying to laser off a bad digital tattoo is incredibly painful. Which is why this forces a massive mindset shift for anyone preparing for a digitally enabled career.
A mindset shift from what to what?
From seeing the online space as just a theme park you visit for entertainment or a library you visit for information. It's neither of those things anymore.
What is it then?
It is the primary operating theater for modern collaboration.
Oh, wow. The operating theater.
Yeah. This means the stakes are no longer just about avoiding personal embarrassment. Misunderstandings that spiral out of control, reputational damage, escalating conflicts.
Those are serious business issues.
They really are. These risks directly impact your capacity to work effectively within a team and your long-term professional viability.
Okay, but I have to push back a little here.
Sure, go ahead.
Hearing all these risks, the natural human reaction is just to, well, hide.
Yeah.
If the digital world is this minefield of permanent tattoos and archive mistakes, wouldn't the smartest strategy be just keep your head down?
Just log off and stay quiet.
Yeah. Like, is responsible online communication purely about playing defense and just avoiding the bad stuff?
I'm so glad you brought that up because that is the most common misconception. And it is where we need to completely flip the narrative.
Okay, let's flip it.
Hiding is simply not a viable career strategy anymore. You have to participate. Responsible communication is emphatically not just about risk mitigation. It is a highly proactive engine for growth.
Oh, interesting. Not just defense, but offense.
Exactly. When you learn to navigate these spaces with intentionality, you aren't just shielding yourself from mistakes. You are actively building an asset.
Okay, so how does that actually work in practice? If someone isn't just staying quiet, what are they building out there?
They are building a visible track record of trust and competence. Think about it. In a remote or hybrid work environment, your colleagues cannot see you working hard at your desk.
Right. There's no visual of me typing away furiously.
Right. So they judge your professionalism based entirely on how you show up digitally.
Which is all in the communication.
Yes. Do you clarify ambiguous points respectfully? Do you de-escalate tension in a shared document? Do you synthesize information clearly?
So it's about showing your work, essentially.
Yeah, showing your character through your work. When you communicate responsibly, you prove to future employers and current collaborators that you can handle the friction and nuance of modern work.
That makes a lot of sense. It really transforms just being polite into a tangible professional skill. So let's look at the mechanics of doing this every day.
Let's do it.
One of the core strategies for responsible use is verifying information before you share it. Now, on the surface, that sounds super obvious, but it gets skipped constantly.
Oh, it gets skipped all the time because social platforms are heavily engineered for frictionless sharing.
Right. They want you to hit retweet instantly.
Yes. The algorithms reward speed and emotional reaction over accuracy. Taking a moment to verify a claim introduces friction.
And people hate friction.
We do. But that moment of friction is where your professional judgment lives. When you take the time to verify before hitting retweet or forward, you actively reduce the risk of spreading misinformation.
Yeah, actually, it reminds me of a physical supply chain.
Okay, how so?
Imagine you work in a bustling shipping warehouse, right? And someone hands you a mysterious ticking package.
A ticking package? That's never good.
No. And they yell, pass it down the line. Now, if you blindly forward that physical package without checking if it contains something dangerous, you are responsible for what happens next.
You become part of the problem.
Exactly. You become a critical link in the supply chain of a disaster.
I love that analogy. And sharing unverified information operates on the exact same mechanism. You literally become a node in the supply chain of misinformation.
Wow. Yeah. That's a heavy responsibility.
It is. You are lending your hard-earned credibility to something potentially harmful. When you do that, you aren't just passing along a bad fact.
What are you doing?
You are broadcasting to your entire professional network that your filter is broken. You are signaling that your judgment cannot be entirely trusted.
And nobody wants to hire someone with bad judgment.
No. In the modern information economy, a professional whose judgment cannot be trusted is a massive liability.
Conversely, being the person who stops the ticking package, who introduces that healthy friction, makes you incredibly valuable.
Absolutely.
Let's ground this in a future workplace scenario. Because there is a specific case study of a university student who used these exact concepts to significantly improve their professional networking opportunities.
I remember this one.
Yeah, and they didn't achieve this by, like, inventing a groundbreaking app or relying on nepotism.
No, it was much simpler.
Right. They did it simply through the sustained, constructive use of platforms like LinkedIn.
LinkedIn is the perfect laboratory to examine this, honestly, because it is an environment explicitly designed around professional digital identity.
So let's look at the mechanics here.
Yeah.
What is a student in that position actually doing?
Well, they aren't just logging on and passively scrolling. And they certainly aren't treating it like a personal diary, venting about their day.
Right, that's the hallway conversation again.
Exactly. Instead, they are engaging in strategic, value-adding communication.
So instead of just clicking like on an industry article or leaving a generic great post comment, they might synthesize a key takeaway.
Yes. They might write something like, "This shift in supply chain logistics is fascinating. I wonder how it will impact smaller vendors in the next quarter."
Okay, that's specific.
Very specific. And that single sentence does an incredible amount of heavy lifting for their career.
Because it shows they actually read it.
Yes. In 20 words, they have demonstrated critical thinking, industry awareness, and professional courtesy. They are showcasing their ability to converse respectfully and add value to a public forum.
So when a recruiter or a future manager looks at that profile, they see a highly competent communicator.
Instantly, they see someone they'd want on their team.
It proves a fundamental truth about the modern career landscape, really. Your digital footprint precedes your physical handshake.
Precedes it by a mile.
Yeah. Long before you walk into an interview room, log on to a virtual onboarding meeting, or pitch a new client, people have already formed an impression of you based on the digital trail you've left behind.
And the student in that scenario actively engineered their digital handshake.
They did. And notice how that ties back to your point about playing defense versus offense. They didn't just avoid getting canceled.
Right.
They proactively shaped a narrative of competence.
Which requires a high level of environmental awareness. You have to understand not just how your communication affects you, but how it affects the broader digital ecosystem.
Let's expand on that ecosystem idea. We spend a lot of time focusing on the individual your resume, your reputation, your career.
The self-centered view.
Exactly. But there is a real ethical layer to this regarding respectful engagement and the creation of inclusive environments.
There is a massive ethical layer.
How does one person's quick email or forum comment actually impact the broader digital space?
Think of the digital environment like the water table in a physical city.
Okay, the water table.
If one factory dumps a small amount of chemical runoff into the soil, it might seem isolated or minor to the people working right there.
Just a little spill.
Right. But it pollutes the shared resource that everyone relies on. Hostile communication, constant sarcasm, or public shaming aren't just interpersonal conflicts.
They degrade the shared digital water supply.
Exactly. It creates a toxic baseline for everyone.
It normalizes hostility.
And that normalized hostility is precisely the environment where severe issues like cyberbullying thrive. It becomes the background noise.
Wow. So when you commit to respectful engagement,
you are actively refusing to contribute to that runoff. You are insisting on a standard that makes the digital space functional and safe for collaboration. You're taking responsibility for the shared infrastructure.
Which means we need to talk about the tools that help us manage that infrastructure. Because navigating this safely doesn't just happen by accident or good intentions.
No, it requires active management and the right tools.
Right. When we look at practical tools for digital well-being, something like the Google Family Safety Center comes to mind from the source material.
That is an excellent example, though people often completely misinterpret its utility. Well, it is easy to view tools like that purely as parental controls. You know, keeping kids off certain sites.
Yeah, that's what I immediately thought of, screen time limits.
Right. But if you look at the mechanics of what those tools actually do, they are foundational exercises in understanding digital architecture and privacy boundaries.
In what way?
They teach you how to audit a digital footprint, manage permissions, and configure algorithmic guardrails.
Which is a critical skill for a young professional.
It's non-negotiable now.
Because in the modern workplace, if you don't know how to manage your own notifications, set boundaries on your data sharing, or configure your software securely, you are either going to burn out entirely or inadvertently leak sensitive company information.
Yes, exactly. Taking control of your device's safety and privacy settings is essentially the training ground for corporate data security and personal operational security.
It gives you agency.
Precisely. Responsible communication includes respecting your own digital boundaries and understanding the tools available to enforce them.
You aren't just at the mercy of the platforms.
Not at all. You can configure your environment to support your productivity and your well-being.
So how do you take all of this, the permanence of the archive, the ticking package of misinformation, the digital handshake, the architecture of privacy, and actually build a daily habit?
It sounds overwhelming, but there is a really powerful reflection prompt that functions as the ultimate practical growth tool.
I love a good reflection prompt. What is it?
The prompt is simply this. How can responsible online communication improve my digital reputation and relationships?
How can responsible online communication improve my digital reputation and relationships? That is not just a hypothetical question to answer once for an exam.
No, that is an operational filter.
A filter you apply right at the point of friction. I love the idea of asking yourself that exact question every single time before you hit send, post, or reply all.
Literally every time. You look at the draft and ask, is this going to improve my digital reputation?
Is this going to improve my relationships?
Right. And if the answer is a clear no, or even if you just have a moment of hesitation, you delete the draft.
It is a brilliant mechanism for forcing intentionality.
And it is vital to apply that filter across all mediums, not just text-based posts or emails. We increasingly communicate through visuals.
That's very true.
And the requirement for responsibility remains exactly the same there. Consider a design tool like Canva.
Canva. That is an interesting pivot. We normally think of design tools as places to just make slide decks or event flyers. How does a slide deck become an issue of responsible communication?
Well, visuals bypass the critical filtering mechanisms in our brains much faster than text does.
We just process images instantly.
Instantly. So the way you frame data visually is a profound communication choice. Imagine you are building a chart for a team presentation.
Okay, I've got my data points.
And you decide to crop the y-axis so it starts at 50 instead of 0.
Oh, I've seen that done.
Right, and that visually exaggerates a minor trend to look like a massive sudden spike. Or consider using highly saturated aggressive colors to frame a competitor's quote.
Wow, so you are manipulating the viewer's perception without explicitly lying in the text.
Exactly, you are generating visual misinformation. A poorly conceived graphic or a deliberately skewed data visualization can damage your professional credibility and spread false narratives just as efficiently as a poorly worded tweet.
That is wild to think about.
Responsible communication means understanding the cognitive load and the inherent biases of the visual choices you make and refusing to exploit them. The medium changes, but the core ethic of clarity and verification does not.
For anyone looking to truly master these concepts, there are some incredible resources that dive into the deep end of these architectural and psychological realities.
Yes, there is some great literature out there.
We highly recommend adding a few specific titles to your required reading list. Titles like Digital Minimalism, The Art of Invisibility, and Cyberpsychology.
Those titles provide an essential conceptual foundation. They will help you understand not just how to behave online, but how the systems themselves are designed.
Designed to influence human behavior, data privacy, and attention.
Exactly. They are the blueprints to the digital city we've been talking about.
All right. As we bring this deep dive to a close, let's distill the sheer volume of what we've covered into the absolute essentials.
A quick recap.
Yeah.
The core truth is that your online communication dictates your professional reputation. The digital is the real.
The digital is the real. I like that.
Engaging respectfully isn't just a matter of politeness. It is a proactive strategy that improves the shared digital environment and proves your collaborative competence to future employers.
And finally, embracing the friction of verification is the crucial mechanism that protects your credibility and stops the spread of misinformation.
It is entirely about taking active control of your digital narrative, rather than letting the platforms dictate it for you.
So for everyone listening, stay curious, responsible, and future ready. Please review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities. Putting these concepts into practice is how you actually build the muscle of digital confidence.
Taking the time to do those activities is what bridges the gap between understanding the theory and actually executing it in your daily life. It's the practical application.
Before we go, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. We've talked about permanent tattoos, supply chains, and digital handshakes.
We covered a lot of ground.
We did. But think about this. What if you treated every single online interaction, every casual Slack message, every comment on a shared document, every quick reply to an email as a permanent public line on your professional resume?
That changes everything.
It does. How would that change the very next sentence you type?
Thank you so much for joining us and exploring these concepts today.
Yes. Thank you for your time and attention. See you on the next one.